Look at that. Oh, just a bit.
Oh, you got my chest hair.
Sorry.
What's up, guys? Welcome to the BlackRock Media social media podcast, the greatest social media show in my world. This is the show where we discuss social media strategies for the average person, although the average person is actually Chinese. It's Wimbledon week, and this week, Serena Williams managed to post a modeling shot on Instagram at the same time she was playing a quarterfinal match. And while the crowd went wild on court, the comments weren't so supportive, with comments like, "I didn't know you could post while you're playing," and "focus on your match, sis," and also, "how did you post this if you're playing?" And this is why this podcast exists, because while there are idiots like this in the world, we can help answer questions. And without giving away the magic trick, it was actually a looky-likey Serena Williams who was actually playing the match. So, but don't tell anybody. With me, as always, is a man who hails from Southport, home of the oldest iron pier in the country, and also the famous lawnmower museum.
Yeah.
People come here to learn, and I don't disappoint. He used to be a landscape gardener. Sadly, my garden is portrait. See, what's really good about that is it's a social media show, you see? While this podcast is all about social media, he brings the eye candy. He's been described as the thinking woman's crumpet by me just now. The ladies love Cox. Edward Peter Cox.
Hello, Damien.
How's your week?
Very good. Yeah, week was good, thank you. Not much has happened in terms of life, Ed.
A lot of sun.
Yeah.
Very sunny.
I know. I've got sunglasses marks.
Yeah.
And apparently every time you see me, I'm looking more brown.
I know, yeah.
I just go outside for a while every now and then. But no, good week so far.
Good week.
Thanks for the intro.
It's good.
Yeah, you'd be surprised how many times that lawnmower thing comes up, especially at job interviews.
It looks crap, actually, but it might be good.
Don't knock it till you've tried it.
Apparently there is something from Charles and Diana's ride-on lawnmower in there.
Yeah, there's quite a few things. But do you know it's upstairs, apparently?
Is it?
Genuinely, it's up a bunch of stairs. Anyway,
on with the news. It's all going wrong. Instagram engagement rates are in decline.
Saw that.
So effectively, as consumption builds, things change, Instagram's adding features, everyone has moved upstairs to the stories and is less downstairs in the feed, resulting in less engagement. Also, more brands are now going, hey, we should do social media. They're jumping onto Instagram, doing more stuff in the feed, which is then also pushing people away from the feed. I mean, we've seen it with Facebook. It's not like it's a different song. It's the same song. But what's happening is we are about to see a bigger push towards the paid side of media like we have on Facebook.
Yeah, so it goes, we say this every single week. And what I like about the stats, what you bring,
yeah,
is it just back up what we were talking about last week.
Yeah.
And this week, we can probably continue talking about it, but we're on it.
We are.
We really are on it.
There is also a new Instagram anti-bullying AI feature, and the initiative comes after Insta has been under attack from some anti-bullying, and now it's actually going to point out how rude and mean you're being when you are posting a comment. It will actually say, are you sure you want to post that mean comment calling someone a douchebag?
Really?
Yeah, that's the thing. And you can go, yeah.
Yeah. You know that thing that they say about writing an angry email and then...
Yeah.
And then rereading it and deleting it. People don't do that. I get quite a lot of angry emails.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is actually going to hopefully stop that. I mean, I can say from, especially on my of all my social media channels, YouTube has got what I would say is the best community. It's where I find people are drawn and closest to me. But at the same point, it's where they are the meanest. I mean, if someone's going to go in on YouTube, they are going into the bone.
Yeah, obviously it's a bit of an epidemic, and it is sad that it happens, and it has the potential to ruin social media for some people, and it also is the reason why I think a lot of people shy away from it, exposing your company to, you know, even Trustpilot reviews or Google reviews and stuff like that. It just opens it up. But also the power within them allows for genuine positive reviews. So I think it's good that Instagram are doing it.
I think so.
I think we do it to ourselves every day. We check ourselves as anyone does. So if Instagram can follow suit, then I think that's
doing good. The right thing.
I think so.
Also, this week, Donald Trump is throwing a digital summit at the White House to, in quotes, bring together digital leaders for a robust conversation on the opportunities and challenges of today's online environment. There is one slight problem with this. Donald Trump is actually bringing together a digital party for everyone important in the world of social media.
Yeah.
Except he has uninvited or banned Facebook and Twitter. Because, in his words, he says they are corrupt, is his words. So he hasn't invited Facebook and he hasn't invited Twitter. Now, in a digital social media party, that pretty much leaves Snapchat, and I'm pretty sure Donald Trump doesn't know what Snapchat is. It's just going to be him and the guys in Snapchat, and Donald Trump's going to be like, so what is Snapchat? Yeah. And they're going to be like, it's mostly dick pics.
Yeah, what? I don't want to say too much about him, but that seems like a bit of a howler.
I think that's brilliant. I think the idea to bring along or to make the biggest social media party and then not invite Facebook, who own Instagram.
I know.
Brilliant, absolutely. So there's your news. So let's move.
It's time for a how-to.
It's been coming for a while.
I told you we'd get them done. I told you. That was my challenge for last week, was to get some new...
Yeah.
What are they called? Stings.
Stings. Jingles.
Stingles. Brilliant. There's your new stingle.
Love it. That's good. So it's time for a how-to.
Tell me how-to.
So this week, we are going to talk about YouTube and how to grow your YouTube. And do you know why?
Oh, Damien. Why?
Well, as it happens, this week, I just hit 30,000 subscribers on my YouTube channel. Oh, the crowd goes wild. And there's just stuff that nobody told me 2 years ago when I started my channel.
Yeah.
That, you know, I don't know if... For people who don't know, I'm such an advocate of YouTube. Mm. I think it is the... It's just such a great way of building long-term brand and long-term audience, long-term engagement. And the reason for that is because not only are you making content, and YouTube is also a search engine, so you're making evergreen content. You can make stuff that can be found in 5 years' time. Mm-hmm. And whereas Instagram and Facebook algorithm is closing the door to stop people seeing you unless you pay for it, YouTube does the other thing. As you do more content, as you build, as you get more engagement and more audience and more subscribers, it opens the door more and more and more. It makes it easier and easier and easier. And I always say, in fact, I said this yesterday to someone who had, who's got 75 subscribers. And I'm like, it's Guy Lloyd, actually, who's quite a sort of minor celebrity in Brighton. And I was like, honestly, the first 100 is the hardest. Mm. It is the hardest. After that, to get to 1,000 is easier. Once you hit 1,000, you are on your way. Mm. So we are going to go through my top 10 tips that nobody told me when I started YouTube.
I think that makes for a very good how-to section.
And we're going to do it within 5 minutes.
Great.
All right, here we go. Number one, titles. Always start with titles. Titles are the most important thing. Now, the reason for this is because people want to make content and then they want to name it afterwards. It's completely the wrong strategy. What you need to be doing is you need to be thinking of a title and then saying to yourself, are people going to be looking for this title? So, for example, the way you title something is the difference between having evergreen content. It's also the difference between someone seeing it, getting that first impression and thinking, oh, that looks interesting, or you're just actually naming it to keep it in a library file, which then won't get seen. Mm-hmm. So effectively, the title for me is the most important part. It's the first impression, and it's how people are going to find you and be interested in what you want on YouTube.
Yep, and that's surely the same for any platform that requires a title. So if it's a blog, for example, Absolutely. It's the same principle.
So start with the title. And also, just on that, once you've actually got a title, everything you're saying then starts to get fitted into it. So you don't go off on a tangent. So titles for me is everything. Number two, trends. Now, vloggers in the UK have really seemed to have lost their traction. They're still the biggest and most viewed from a minutes point of view sector in YouTube.
Yeah.
But the trend really now is a lot more based on things like challenges and and I did this and this is what happened. It's basically do it rather than tell me about it. Let's do it. Show me what happened.
Yeah.
And I think people should be following these trends. So for example, if you are a business, a company, or a brand that you can actually do something over a period of an hour, a day, a week, or a month, document it and say, this is what I did, and this is what happened at the end of it. All of a sudden, you are playing to the trend of what people are consuming more on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So for example, an idea for us with social media would be, I took over a company's social media, or I took over a company's Instagram for 30 days. This is what I did every day, and this is what happened. Mm-hmm. Number three, banners. What is the purpose of a banner on YouTube? It's to tell people how often you are going to be posting. It's not just a nice picture. It's saying, this is who I am. This is my story. This is what I'm posting. So I think people should spend more time on making a banner on their YouTube, which is right at the top. It's the thing that introduces who you are and what you want from the audience. Come back on Wednesdays or come back on Thursdays.
So use it as a bit of an advert.
Absolutely, yeah. Right. Tell people who you are and what you do in that banner.
Love it.
Set up shelves. The amount of YouTube I go on which just says these are the uploads, and it's just reams and reams, and then I've got to click the videos to actually start going through their videos. Well, what's great about YouTube is you can start to actually organize stuff. Here's my challenge videos, here's my top tips videos, here's my vlog videos, here's my how-to videos.
Yeah, we've got one on playlist, a playlist of podcasts.
And the reason for that is because think of YouTube as your own TV channel, and each shelf is a program.
Yep.
All the news, all of the Love Island, whatever you want to have is on a shelf. So people need to have shelves. How to maximize comments properly. I hate it when people just go into the comments and they're saying, I can't grow my YouTube. And I go in the comments and there's people actually commenting and there's nothing. There's not even, and then people think that it should just be, oh, thanks. It's like, no, start the conversation. Mm-hmm. Every single one of those people is an opportunity to grow your YouTube.
Yep.
And the more you comment, the more people will subscribe to your channel.
Great.
Simple as that. Consistency, how often is not enough, which is a question. How often should I be posting? But not how much should you be posting, as often as you can. How much is too little? I would say if you're not posting at least once a week, you're not taking it seriously. So it needs to be at least once a week, ideally two, but at least once a week. YouTube SEO is very, very important. You need to give every chance of being seen. So once you've got your title, that needs to go into your SEO. Now, by what I mean by SEO is how people are gonna love it.
Sorry, have we talked about that yet?
No, we haven't.
Okay, so now.
But Ed, I just don't know what that means.
You will have just heard a bit of audio. It's a new section, slight new section, in which when you describe something or you use an acronym such as SEO, then my mother has phoned in and says, but Ed, I just don't know what that means. And then we get an opportunity to explain what it means. So what is SEO?
Well, Ed's mum, I'll tell you what SEO is. Search engine optimization, or more importantly, how Google, and in this case, YouTube, who's owned by Google, how they know how to put you into a place. How they know how when someone's searching for something, how do they know what content to put in front of those people, and therefore, how do they know what that piece of content should be, where it should be put in order for people to see it. So therefore, you have to allocate time into putting a description, into things like meta tags, which is basically tagging things into YouTube so that it can be found. So for example, if you're doing something on social media, there should be tags on social media marketing, etc., etc. So giving yourself every opportunity. The amount of times that I go into people's YouTube and it just says title, there's no description, there's no tags, there's no reason why YouTube should know exactly what that piece of content is, because YouTube hasn't got the ability to go into the video and listen to it. So what it does is it tends to go on to what the text is. So you're giving yourself every opportunity with the SEO. Right. Number eight, you want people to sub. So ask people to sub. How much are you asking it? Are you asking it in the video? Are you asking people that you meet at parties? Are you on YouTube? Do me a favor, can you just subscribe? Give me your phone. On the phone, subscribe there and then. You get to 100, you are so much on your way, because then you can allocate your own name. Yeah. Before that, it's like youtube.com/XZ3MillionFZ. Whereas then you can have youtube.com/Damien Keyes. That's mine. Go and subscribe. And at that point,
shameless.
At that point, when you hit 100, it's so much easier to get to 1,000.
Yeah.
But when you hit 1,000, which took me 1 year, everything changes. So your job is to get to 100 as quick as possible and then start pushing to that 1,000. Yeah. You're on your way after that.
Okay. Sorry to interrupt.
Yes.
I know we're on time here. Just real quick, do you know Guy Lloyd's one? He won't have one yet, but we'll put it in the show notes and we'll
Guy
put
Lloyd.
All of these, yeah, just to help Guy Lloyd with Absolutely. His subscribers get to 100. We'll also put these points in the show notes as well.
Yeah, and go and subscribe to BlackRock Media and we'll subscribe right back to you so that you can actually help get towards your first 100 or first 1,000. Number 9, remove excuses. YouTube is hard work. Everyone says that. Yeah, but YouTube's really hard. I can just go on TikTok and do something in 6 seconds. Yes, YouTube is hard work, but the payoff is massive. And that's why you can win on YouTube, because most people, most brands, most bands, most people on YouTube don't want to put the work in, which means if you do want to put the work in, you can win. And number 10, and lastly, you need to learn, you need to get good, like you do with your business, like you do with your instrument, like you do with your hobby. You learn about it and you get good. So therefore, download something like TubeBuddy, which is an app that you can actually manage your YouTube on your phone. And it has everything, how you can answer comments, how you can see what you're, the way you're posting. It can help you with your rankings, with your SEO, with your meta tags, all that, which you can download in something like TubeBuddy.
Love it. Great.
Ta-da!
Well done. 10 tips. So that they will be made available on the show notes.
Yeah.
I have received an email. So let's get straight on to email of the week.
Hold on to your butts.
It's the email of the week. Nice.
Thank you. That was another new one. Okay, straight into it.
Read us the email of the week. Yeah?
This is from Abigail. Takes a little while to get to the point. It's quite lengthy. sorry, Abigail. But essentially, she has some sort of interview for a marketing role. And she says that as part of the interview, she has to look through the X website and identify a potential subject for a blog / another piece of content that would be interesting / useful for an existing client, and similarly do the same with a potential client. So I've come up with 3 tips.
What?
Ed's top tips.
Not gonna lie, getting a bit of a semi-on.
Well, this is what I think is hilarious about that. I mean, there's no reason.
Hilarious about my semi-on.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard that before. Rude. No, the reason I think that's funny is because there's nothing sexy about tips, apart from you've just reduced us to filth. But, and it's funny to do a...
I like it. I think
it's
sexy.
A stingle.
It's a stingle. It's a sexy thing. Oh, look at you. You've got your tips. I love it.
I have, yeah. Very...
All right, so...
So to answer Abigail's question, which was... to look for a subject for a blog that will interest either an existing customer or a potential customer. So obviously they, as part of your interview, have defined that you need to do 2. So that is actually tip number 1 that I've got here, which is to know the audience. So to work out who it is that you're writing that blog for, if you're writing it for a current client or a current fan base, then it's going to have a slightly different vocabulary and it's going to be slightly differently weighted towards perhaps a greater understanding of your product and what you deliver. However, if you're doing it for a potential customer, then you're going to be a little bit more expansive in the way that you describe things and bring them on board. But essentially, tip number 1 is to know your audience.
And so with that, can I also ask a question?
Yeah.
So knowing your audience, and so that would also be knowing your purpose. So for example, the difference between writing a blog for your audience to bring value versus a very specific SEO'd blog, which might take a longer period of time.
Yeah, SEO'd blogs.
And SEO'd blogs.
More difficult to write because more often than not, you have to write around a bunch of key phrases that you want to fit into that blog.
And there's so much that goes into an SEO blog where it's not something you're going to knock out in an hour.
Exactly.
And it's working around all of the, like you said, the phrases that you're working into, fitting into a system, and also how you're going to code it into your website and all of the other things that you do. Whereas you might find that you're writing a blog for your audience to help your audience to bring value, to get that brand that you might then put some money behind it. So it's slightly different. Similar kind of thing.
Yeah.
Knowing your audience of what you're trying to achieve with
that's
that.
It. Yeah. And so to know who you're aiming at is sort of the same as saying know what it is you're doing. So yeah, like I say, if it's an existing customer, then you can allow for a bit of dramatic license. Is that the thing that we say? So that you assume a little bit of listener knowledge that they, or viewer knowledge that they already understand maybe what your industry does. Whereas if you're aiming it at, and the purpose of the blog is to acquire new customers, then you will be a little bit more descriptive and less generalized about what the subject matter is. Which takes me to tip number two, which is to either educate or entertain.
Big.
We talk a lot about macro content, micro content. In the blog that I've just done, literally about blogs, inception, is primary content can be broken down into secondary content. Primary is macro, secondary is micro. And I'd say that, interestingly, blogs fit into either or.
Right.
And so you can have just a great big blog and then take out of that blog some key tips, some key advice. Or you can do a podcast like this and then break this podcast down into macro content, which might be a blog.
And just going back to the beginning, because I know we're on the timer, but the difference between education versus entertainment in a blog.
Yes, so which brings me on to the education / entertainment. So the purpose of a blog, whether you're doing it as macro content or micro content, is going to be the same as any content that we say that that people should be putting out. And it is to serve one of two purposes. At least one of these two. It's either to educate or to entertain. We are bang into this theory, which is the best provision of value that you can do in terms of making content for your client or potential clients is to either educate them or entertain them. You can do both, you can't do neither.
Yeah.
So you need to pick one of those, either educate or entertain. So either you do top tips, you do advice, and that would fall into the education side of it, or you entertain where it might be an opinion-based thing and there's a few more jokes in there, and make it share, and it is made shareable by it being funny or having pictures of doggos or cat memes, for example. But to at least be doing one of those, educate or entertain. So tip number one is to know your audience. Tip number two is to then either educate or entertain that audience. Tip number three, which, and I was only allowing myself three, that I have done a blog, which is 10. So nice. Go and check it out on the website, blackrockmedia.co.uk/blogs, I think. It's definitely the Blackrock fraud. Did you hear that slip?
Yeah.
Okay, blackrockmedia.co.uk. That's the first time in over a year I've
ever
done
that. It'll happen again.
I'm sure it will now it's on my mind. Get out. Tip number three is call to action. So at the end of the blog, have a call to action. You said it earlier. How are you asking these people to subscribe? Are you asking them to go and like your Facebook page? You got to remind these people.
So
even when you're reading a blog, just include a link to another relevant video or a podcast and just be like, check this one out and just go and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Give them a call to action. You wouldn't just leave a conversation. You wouldn't take a client out for dinner, have a conversation, and then not ask for them to do something like, oh, yeah, give us a call next week. So I'll drop you an email. There needs to be a call to action. You don't just leave and...
And so a big part of marketing is holding people's hand through a journey. So the first thing we're doing with a blog is to get their attention.
Mm-hmm.
Once we've got their attention, it's what is it that we want them to do? And then in order to do that, we hold their hand right the way through to the point where we say, now this is what I want you to do. So that's why it's a call to action, because effectively it's stopping having five things that you could do and saying, this is what I want you to do. Or more importantly, this is what you want and this is what I'm trying to help you do, which is where the call to action is.
Absolutely, there you go. So there's the three tips. Number one, know your audience or identify your audience. Number two, educate or entertain them. And then number three is once you've done all of those things, then you give them, you need a call to action. You need to ask them to do something or give them something, but it's referred to as a call to action.
Amazing. Challenge. Oh, that's proper Mortal Kombat. I do like that one, that's good.
That was in the spec,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Nice.
The brief,
you asked for more. Oh, I like it. So this week's challenge of the week, your challenge this week is one of two challenges this week, because I feel like people aren't taking YouTube serious enough and I really feel like you are missing out. So this week's challenge is to write on a piece of paper ways that you can take your YouTube more seriously. How can you just put a little bit more time into your YouTube? If you aren't up to 100 subscribers, how are you going to get there?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can do it one-to-one. You can start asking people, but that's your challenge for the week. And number two, your second challenge is to write a blog with those three tips in.
Great.
Knowing your audience and
educating or entertaining, and call to action.
Great. Yeah.
And maybe take some of the YouTube tips that we did and see if you can fit in with things like title and other stuff as well.
Yeah, fantastic. And then send, so all of these points, all of these tips, again, will be in the show notes, and they'll also be on the podcast page of the website, so go and check that out. If you do want to send over your blog, and if you want any for us to make comments on it or anything like that,
or a question,
send it over, or a question, just send anything that you want over to hello@blackrockmedia.co.uk. And yeah, once again, we don't want any sponsorship, thank you.
Stop
Pepsi Max, would you stop bloody phoning me, please? And that pretty much is
it. So thanks for watching. Anything you need, give us a shout. Hello@blackrockmedia.co.uk. Otherwise, we shall see you again next week.